ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 13 रहुगुण कन्वर्सेस विद जड भरत वर्स नंबर 19। अथ कथांचित स विमुक्त आपद पुनश्च सार्थम परिविशति अरिंदम। अध्वनि अमुस्मिन् अजया निवेशितो ब्रह्मांजनो अद्यापि न वेद कश्चन। अथ कथांचित् स विमुक्त आपद पुनश्च सार्थं प्रविशति अरिन्दम्। अध्वनि अमुस्मिन् अजया निवेशितो ब्रह्मन् जनो अद्यापि न वेद कश्चन। अथ कथञ्चित् स विमुक्त आपद पुनश्च सार्थं प्रविशति अरिन्दम्। अध्वनि अमुस्मिन् अजया निवेशितो ब्रह्मन् जनो अद्यापि न वेद कश्चन। प्लीज चैंट। अथ कथांचित् स विमुक्त आपद जनो अद्यापि न वेद कश्चन। अथ कथञ्चित् स विमुक्त आपद निवेशितो मंजनोद्यापीन वेद कश्चन। माताजी पुनश्च सातम प्रविशति अरिंदम अध्वान्यमुस्मि न जया निवेशितो ब्रह्मन् जनोऽद्यापि न वेद कश्चन। माताजी जनो अद्यापि न वेद कश्चन। अतः फ्रॉम दिस कथंचित समहाउ स ही विमुक्त लिबरेटेड आपद फ्रॉम द डेंजर पुनच अगेन स अर्थम टेकिंग इंटरेस्ट इन दैट लाइफ प्रविशति बिगिन्स अरिंदम ओ किंग किलर ऑफ द एनिमीज अध्वनि ऑन द पाथ ऑफ एंजॉयमेंट अमुस्मिन दैट अजया बाय द इन्फ्लुएंस ऑफ द इल्यूजरी एनर्जी Niveshita, being absorbed, Brahman, traveling, Jana, the conditioned soul, Adhyapi, even up to death, Na Veda, does not understand, Kaschana, anything. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O killer of enemies, Maharaj Rahugan, if the conditioned soul somehow or other gets out of his dangerous position, he again returns to his home to enjoy sex life, for that is the way of attachment. Thus, under the spell of the Lord's material energy, he continues to loiter in the forest of material existence. He does not discover his real interest even at the point of death. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is the way of material life. When one is captured by sexual attraction, he becomes implicated in so many ways and cannot understand the real aim of life. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.31 says, Na te vidu swartha gati mi Vishnum. Generally, people do not understand the ultimate goal of life. As stated in the Vedas, Om tad Vishnu paramam padam sada pasyanti suraya. Those who are spiritually advanced simply look to the lotus feet of Vishnu. The conditioned soul, however, not being interested in reviving his relationship with Vishnu, becomes captivated by material activities and remains in everlasting bondage, being misled by so-called leaders. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya चक्षु उन्मीलितं येना तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 13 वर्स नंबर 19 ट्रांसलेशन। ओ किलर ऑफ एनिमीज महाराज रहुगुन, इफ द कंडीशन सोल समहाउ और अदर गेट्स आउट ऑफ हिज डेंजरस पोजीशन, ही अगेन रिटर्न्स टू हिज होम टू एंजॉय सेक्स लाइफ, फॉर दैट इज द वे ऑफ अटैचमेंट। दस अंडर द स्पेल ऑफ द लॉर्ड्स मटेरियल एनर्जी he continues to loiter in the forest of material existence. He does not discover his real interest even at the point of death. Hare Krishna. So we are discussing this instructions of Jad Bharat to Maharaj Rahugan. Since last few chapters, Jad Bharat is trying to explain to Maharaj Rahugan that he is in illusion. He is considering himself as a king, the ruler, the protector of the citizens, but that is all illusion. And in order to make him understand this, he gives a very nice allegory which covers almost 20 verses of this chapter. So before we start discussing this verse, we will just summarize this allegory that is there on the screen. You can turn it on. So this allegory, which is again explained by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, talks about the forest of material enjoyment. So in this allegory, we will discuss this in two simultaneous ways. One is the allegory, which is that of the forest, and other is a real meaning, which is explained by Sukadeva Goswami. So, Jad Bharat talks about a merchant going in the forest. And Sukadeva Goswami explains that this merchant is the living entity and the forest is a material world. So, where we live, this is in the allegory considered as the forest, and the merchant, he goes in the forest. Why does he go in the forest? He goes in the forest to do some business, to collect woods, to collect fruits, to collect flowers, so that he can sell it for profit. In the same way, the living entity comes in this material world for some business. That business is fruitive activity, to perform some activities so that he can get some fruits. And the desire, the purpose of this fruitive activity, the desire behind the fruits is sense gratification. Just as a merchant goes to the forest for profit, a living entity comes to this material world for sense gratification. The only reason the jiva continues to be in the material world is because of attachment. That if I continue here, I will get sense enjoyment, I will be happy, I will be prosperous, and I will be able to gratify my senses and fulfill my material desires. But Jad Bharat wants that in this forest, even if the merchant is successful in gaining profit, still there are 6 plunderers who will take away his profit. And they are 6 senses who will take away our profit. The 6 senses are eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, and the leader is the mind. And in the six senses, they force us to go towards the sense objects. The eyes will say, this is beautiful, you see this. The ears will say, this is melodious, you hear this. The nose will say, this is fragrant, you smell this. And in this way, the mind would say, this is nice, you will get happiness. So the senses and the mind, they force us to waste our time in acquiring sense objects. The relationship between the senses and the sense object is so strong that it is very difficult to break this relationship. Just like fevicol ka mazboot jod. Similarly, the senses and the sense objects, even though they are different, but the hope and the desire to get joy, to get happiness from the sense objects is so strong that they plunder our time, they plunder our riches. As soon as we see a flower, immediately, in no time, there is a desire to smell it. This is the relationship between the senses and the sense object. The mind generates that desire. The eyes see the flower and the nose wants to smell it. As soon as we see a samosa, immediately there is desire to eat it. So this is so strong connection between the senses and the sense objects. So in the forest, when the merchant is going, there may be robbers. The merchant will work hard and the robbers will come and take everything. In the same way, the living entity in the material world work hard to acquire some wealth, but he misuses and wastes this wealth because the six senses, they give him false understanding that this is needed, this is required, you buy this, you purchase this. The mind wants comfort, the mind wants convenience. And even unnecessary things are acquired. And that is how the jiva is plundered of his valuable time, which is actually to be used in service of Krishna. Then in the forest there are tigers, jackals and foxes. What do? They eat the flesh of the merchant. These are compared to those wife and children who make artificial demands to the person in the family life. They say, I want this, you purchase this, you buy this, a big shopping list every morning. And these artificial demands, these unnecessary demands, they are actually sucking the blood of the jiva. A father or the husband who works hard, the money which he gets out of his hard working is transformation of his blood and sweat. The whole day his blood and sweat goes, and that is how gets converted to the money. So it is his flesh which is eaten up by the artificial necessities given by a materialistic family. And seeing the advertisements on the television and the magazines, the necessities go on as increasing. If a new product comes and a new television ad comes with a nice celebrity, then I want this. If I don't have, then I am unhappy. Technology for health and happiness. Videocon washing machine. That means if I don't have Videocon washing machine, neither I am healthy nor I am happy. So you purchase this. Okay, next salary. That is how it happens. Onida. What is it? Neighbor's envy, owner's pride. My neighbor has Onida, I don't have, you purchase this. So okay, next salary. So the person goes on working hard, goes on putting his blood, goes on putting his sweat in the daytime to get some money, which is very easily eaten up by the wife and children who have unnecessary demands. And then at night the wife demands sexual activity, the man has to lose semen, and that semen is also transformation of blood. It says one drop of semen is produced from 40 drops of blood. So day and night, these tigers, jackals and foxes, they eat his flesh. They make him weak. And a person doesn't find strength to practice spiritual life. That is the situation in the forest, in this material world. Then in the forest there are bushes, grass and other thickets. When somebody goes into these thorny bushes, he gets pricked. He can't easily walk. He can't have a smooth ride. He can't have a smooth journey. This is compared to the working, like present day's job, people travel. Early morning people get up and they have to catch a 7:36 local and stay hanging in the moving local among so many people and go to their job. This is a bigger tapasya than Hiranyakashipu. When Hiranyakashipu was doing tapasya, nobody was shaking him. Nobody was disturbing him. But here in the train, you stand like Hiranyakashipu and people are shaking you, disturbing you. And for all, what all this? Just for a small maintenance. So whole day it is a rat race. And somebody said it very nice. Even if you win the rat race, you are still a rat. What do you get? So this is like cutthroat competition. There is so much effort to maintain our body and soul together. Earlier people would live very peacefully in the villages, have 1 or 2 acres of land, have 1 or 2 cows, and that's all. Life can be managed. But now there is so much competition and so much desire to earn money and so much hard work. It's more than necessary. Just like a donkey. A donkey does so much hard work for what? A washerman's donkey takes so much weight of clothes early morning to the river. And the washerman washes it and again loads it on the donkey and he again comes back. And why does he do all that? You ask the donkey, why do you work? He says, for grass. My washerman is so nice, every evening he puts me 1/2 kg grass. Are you fool, 24/7 grass is available. Anytime you can go and eat grass, so much grass is available. But he goes on carrying the load. Then when the washerman gets more and more customers, the load increases. He said, how come so much load? Oh, you don't know, I got promotion. Now I am doing more responsibility. That is how a modern job seeker, he works so hard and so many thorns are pricking him. And in these bushes, in these thickets, in this grass, there are so many mosquitoes. Even if he is successful in his work, there will be many envious people like mosquitoes. They are undesirable association. They will come and bite him. It may be in the house, it may be in the relatives, in the family, in the neighborhood, in the society or in the office. Always there are envious people around who don't like others' happiness, who enjoy others' distress. Para sukha dukhi and para dukha sukhi. When others are happy, I am unhappy. And when others are in misery, I am joyful. That is enviousness. And there are always envious people who give trouble, who disturb us, just like mosquitoes. Mosquitoes don't like anybody to sleep quietly. That is envy. Envy means you disturb others without any reason. So there are people around, anywhere in the world. If you take any 2 people on this earth globe, A and B, in 2 different countries, with no relationship to each other, there is 1 relationship between them, and that is of envy. A is envious of B and B is envious of A. If an unknown person is glorified in front of us, we don't like it. If an unknown person is praised for his accomplishments, we don't like it. That is enviousness. So there are mosquitoes in the forest which bite the person. He can't stay calm and quiet. He can't sleep soundly. The mosquitoes will come and disturb him. In the same way, there are envious people around us. They don't allow us to be peaceful. Even if after hard work we are successful, they will bite, they will disturb, they will criticize. And such people are so many around that a person doesn't get happiness by that. And in spite of all that, the merchant sees from far away nice mountains, nice greenery. He thinks, here I am not happy, there I will be happy. That is called Akash Pushpa, flower in the sky. Or Gandharva Pura, imaginary castle in the air, an imaginary attractive place. Everybody thinks, I will construct a home one day. Nice house, my family will reside, I will reside. Of course, in Bombay people think, I will have one BHK one day, my own BHK, or my own two BHK. 20 years I will pay EMI, but later on it will be mine. So there are lots of hopes of having a home, having a nice shelter, hopes of constructing a bungalow, sea-face bungalow, or sea-face flat. And so many people die with such hopes. So the merchant in the forest, he always hopes and dreams that one day I'll get a castle in the forest. One day I'll get a peaceful place in the forest to stay and spend my time. One day I'll get a nice profitable field where I'll get lots of fruits. In the same way, a working person or a person in the material world, he hopes that one day he'll get something nice. Some nice house, few rooms, few bathrooms, few swimming pools, few servants, terrace, this, that. So, and I'll be very happy. Roti, kapda, makan. And this makan is very important, especially in Mumbai. Very difficult to get even 1 square feet of land. So that is the desire and a dream to get this imaginary place. Jadbhartaya, sometimes in the forest, he sees a ghost temporarily and gets excited. In the same way, as a jiva, sometimes he sees gold. Prabhupada compares to this gold as yellow stool. Sometimes you happen to see it and you get excited. But actually this unwanted economy or unwanted gold or lots of collection of economy or gold gives rise to 4 sinful activities: meat eating, intoxication, gambling and illicit sex. When the personality of Kali came to Parikshit Maharaj for getting shelter in his kingdom, he gave him these 4 places of sin. But he didn't found any such place. Then Parikshit Maharaj gave him the place where there is lots of collection of gold. And he said, wherever there is gold, there will be sinful activity. Which means wherever people collect money more than necessary, more opulence than necessary, which is not used in Krishna's service, then there people get damaged, they get disturbed, they get agitated, and they misuse this money, they misuse this gold, and they engage into sinful activities of meat eating, intoxication, gambling and illicit sex. So sometimes this is visible. A person cannot see this always. Sometimes he purchases this and he keeps it in his tijori, and every few months he opens it and sees whether my gold is there or not. Yeah, yeah, it is there. Tells the wife, don't wear. Somebody will see and get envious and steal it. So the gold is not for wearing, it's for keeping in the tijori, in the cupboard, locked. Every few months you take darshan and you get happiness, I have gold. What is the use? And for that so much security and so much anxiety and so much difficulty and so much hard work to earning the gold. So this is like ghost. Sometimes comes and excites life. Creates so much anxiety, fear. And then in the forest, sometimes there is whirlwind. Lots of dust storm is there, which blinds the eyes of the merchant and he can't see. This is compared to the lust of woman, lust for woman. The jiva gets so much lusty after his wife or girlfriend or opposite sex that he can't see. He can't see means his intelligence doesn't discriminate. He doesn't know what is right and wrong. He doesn't know what I am doing should be done or not. He is just captivated by this illusory energy. His intelligence is shut, spoiled, and he engages into illicit sexual relationships.
He thinks nobody is seeing me. I am alone in the private bedroom. But he doesn't know the sun is seeing, the moon is seeing, the demigods are seeing, Agni is seeing, Varun is seeing, Vayu is seeing, Indra is seeing, the directions are seeing, everybody is seeing. So blinded by this dust storm, he doesn't know the direction which he is taking. He doesn't know whether I am going in a proper path. So blinded by lust, a person forgets that his path is of self-realization. He forgets that he should go towards Krishna. He forgets that his goal of life is to serve Krishna. And he thinks this is the life. This is what I want. This is for what I am existing. This is for what I should earn. And this is for what I should work hard. This is called blinded by lust. A person's memory goes, a person's intelligence goes. He goes into illusion and he performs sinful activities. And he has a reserved birth in hell with Yamraj. That is result of sinful activities. Now sometimes in the forest, there is invisible sounds of crickets. You heard crickets in the night? They make so much noise. But you can't search and find them. They are not visible, but they are always there. This is backbiting of envious people. People around us, in our own inner circle, will speak against us behind us. Not in front of us. And on our back, they will speak so much criticism, so much envious words. In front of us, they will be very nice. As if they are most affectionate friends and well-wishers. This is the nature of the material world. Just as crickets make so much noise in the forest, but you can't find them where they are, in the same way there are envious people within well-wishers. They do backbiting, they harm us from behind, but we can't find who they are. They appear to be very nice well-wishers. And a person, a living entity, is stressed and strained, is in too much dukkha because of such envious chastisement or criticism. Then there are owls. They make lots of sound in the noise. This is the harsh words of envious people and chastisement of government personnel. Government are like owls. They speak so much harshly, this notice, this regulation, that regulation, this niyam, that law, and this tax and that tax, and people go on getting so much bitter experience. In 12th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami says that in Kali Yuga, the government will go on putting so much tax that people will stay in the forest. They would not like to stay under municipality. They will not like to stay under the city. They will think forest is a better place. At least there are no taxes. But I am sure there will be forest tax also. Forest tax, greenery tax, oxygen tax, fruits tax. They will, anyway. So this government personnel who chastise, who make laws, who disturb the citizens in the name of protection and welfare, they are considered owls. And the harsh word of envious people, they are considered the sounds of the owls. This disturb a person's sleep. And then in the forest, when a person is disturbed so much, then there is scorching heat, there is summer season, winter season, rainy season, so he goes to the shelter of trees which have no flowers and fruits. That is like compared to taking help from sinful people who can't advise us, who can't help us. Sometimes the person is depressed and stressed, there is tension in the family, so he takes help from senior well-wishers. They are experienced, mature householders. But because they are not Krishna conscious, they can't give good advice. The son goes to the father and he says, my wife is too much, she is troubling me. Father says, this is not new, just continue. That's what happens. So people take advice from those people who don't have spiritual intelligence, and then they continue in their tensions and stress. That doesn't get solved. It is going to the tree which is only thorns. It doesn't have flowers, it doesn't have fruits. Even if you take effort to go to a tree, actually it can't help you. Then in this situation, sometimes in the forest, because of so much heat, the merchant sees a river. And he thinks, wow, so nice water, all the heat will go away, and he jumps in the river. But he finds river is so shallow that he breaks his bones and his head. by hitting the rocks. In the same way, people go to the well-wishers and the relatives when they are poor, when they are bankrupt, when they don't have money, but they find these relatives and friends are not charitable. They don't give money. They say, I am also in trouble. Sometimes if you go to the doctor, it happened with me once. One of our devotees, he had a known doctor, friend doctor. He told he will not take any paisa, any money, and he will give free treatment, you come with me. So we went to that big consultant and we told him, look, I have a back pain. He said, no problem, sometimes I also get back pain. So this is not a big thing, you go. He didn't give anything. So sometimes people who don't want to help, we go them for help. Especially money. And what happens? They don't help. This is like jumping into a shallow river. You get insulted, you get humiliated, and instead of water you get rocks, then you break the bones. So the relationship gets spoiled, a person's ego is get hurt, and finally he doesn't get anything. So going to people who are not charitable and asking money or charity or help, or going to atheists for blessings. Sometimes people do that. Those who are atheists, but they are well known in the society, like politicians or elder family members who are non-devotees, we want blessings from them. How can they give blessings when they don't receive anything from Krishna? When they don't have faith on the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So this is like jumping in shallow river and breaking bones. We don't get any benefit. So sometimes in the forest, suddenly there is a forest fire. Nobody comes and starts that fire, but the fire is there and the merchant is burning in the forest fire. This is compared to the burning heat of household life. Even if a person is doing everything nicely, still there will be some burns, still there will be some quarrels, still there will be some problems in household life. Samsara davanal, davanal, the fire of forest fire, the fire of material existence, the fire of struggle of material existence. Everybody has to experience this. There is nobody in the material world who is no conditioned soul who is aloof from this. And this fire keeps on burning and a person doesn't know how to turn it off, how to end it. Everywhere he sees there is fire and he burns from all the sides and he has no deliverance from this fire. Then sometimes he sees some hills which are nice, green, anything. If I climb these hills, it will be nice. I will be safe from this forest fire. But when he climbs the hills, he is pricked by thorns. This is for trying to go on, trying to go take happiness from family life or material world. There may be sometimes some happiness, but it is temporary. And misery is always there. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. Climbing hills like performing functions like marriage or sacred ceremony for the child, this takes lots of energy, lots of money. Sometimes those who are not earning, not having very high income, one marriage of the girl child depletes their bank balance. For 15-20 years they work hard and save money only for the kanyadan, only for the marriage of the girl child. And when the marriage happens, they are depleted. This is the situation in many families. So in the forest, climbing hills and mountains for better prospectus is like trying to get happiness. If I change this job, I will be happy. If I purchase car, I will be happy. If I buy a nice house, I will be happy. If I separate from family, I will be happy. If I do this, I will be happy. He goes on trying for happiness, happiness, happiness. But he doesn't get. When a child is very small, he is not happy whole day crying. So when he grows up and starts playing, thinking that now I am happy with toys, he is sent to school. And school, who is happy? So many books, assignments, homework, this, that, uniform. Go to morning, come back in the evening. And so much punishment and this. He thinks if I go college, I will be happy. I can bunk classes, I can wear whatever I want. I can go to canteen, nice bike, nice girls, but there is no money in the college. Papa doesn't give pocket money. So he thinks if I earn, I will be happy. And as soon as he starts earning, the salary day, the friends are there. Salary over, friends over. He says, why should I spend with friends? They only come for their personal benefit. मेरा कोई अपना होना चाहिए, आई शुड स्पेंड फॉर माई ओन फैमिली, एंड ही मैरिज थिंकिंग आई विल बी हैप्पी, एंड वी नो द स्टोरी. देन ही थिंक्स इफ आई हैव अ चाइल्ड आई विल बी हैप्पी, बट द चाइल्ड इज टू नॉटी, इफ द चाइल्ड ग्रोज अप आई विल बी हैप्पी, बट वेन द चाइल्ड ग्रोज अप ही सेज इफ द चाइल्ड वर्क्स आई विल बी हैप्पी, देन द चाइल्ड मैरिज इफ द चाइल्ड हैज अ चाइल्ड देन आई विल बी हैप्पी, एंड ही डाइज ही सेज आफ्टर डेथ आई विल बी हैप्पी. वेन वॉज ही हैप्पी? नेवर. Again in the womb of the mother. This is the cycle wherein he goes on hoping, hoping, hoping that tomorrow I'll be happy, today I'll be happy, if I do this I'll be happy, if I do that I'll be happy. But he doesn't get happiness. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. Now if somebody is happy with dukkha, there are some people, I am happy with my dukkha, ashashvatam, even that is temporary. Even if you want to be happy with your dukkha, not allowed. You will have to die. You'll have to leave that dukkha situation also. So there is unhappiness. When Krishna made this nice material world, after making, he thought, I didn't give a nameplate to this. You know, people give nameplate. I didn't give a nameplate. So he told Brahma, put this nameplate. What is the nameplate? Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. So in Dukkhalayam, if somebody goes to find Sukha, he'll be double dukkha. It's like there's Pustakalaya. And you go and say, please give me one sari. You say, a foolish person. If you find sari in Pustakalaya, then you'll be frustrated. So if you find sukha in Dukkhalaya, there'll be double dukkha. There'll be frustration. So a person doesn't find happiness in this material world. So even that goes off. Then sometimes in the forest there is python, we devours him. And he goes unconscious. That is like deep sleep. A person wastes his time in mode of ignorance, tamogun, on the lap of which maya. Jiva jago, jiva jago. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a nice song. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, get up from the lap of which maya. Because we sleep and we waste our time. This sleep is ignorance. Ignorance to the fact that we are supposed to serve Krishna. Even if a materialistic is awake, traveling in the train and going for a job, that is called sleep. Because he is sleeping towards his self-realization. So 24 hours a person is sleeping because he is not serving Krishna. That is like python is devouring. And while he is sleeping, there are snake bites. He doesn't know the snakes come and bites. His enemies are behind his back and they are scheming to destroy his position. And one fine day he comes to know, he has got chastised from the government, he got lawyer's notice from the court, he got boss chastisement, or he got suspended in the office, or he got loss, or his client went away and went to some other business and purchased his product. He doesn't know all this happens behind his back when he's sleeping. This is compared to the snake bite. A person's position gets destroyed, his riches gets destroyed, his prestige gets destroyed, his name gets destroyed. So many big businessmen, suddenly they sleep at night and morning they come to know they are zero. Bankrupt. Share market crashed. Or morning they read the newspaper and their name is there and some scam has happened and arrest warrant is waiting for them. This happens day in, day out. They don't know. Behind their back so many things are happening. And they are completely destroyed. And such a person, the merchant, in spite of all these, he sees some honey on the tree. And he says, yes, if I take this, I'll be happy. But so many bees are there who stung him and gave him trouble. This is like a person is in the family life, so much trouble, and he sees other's wife. And he says, yeah, if I have this woman, I'll be happy. And he tries to approach, has illicit sex. But the relatives and kinsmen of the other woman, they beat him up. This is a natural tendency of the jiva. Even if he has his own sense object, he finds other sense object very nice. Sometimes people go to the restaurant, they take the menu card, they order something very nice, and they eat, fill their belly, pay the bill. When they come out, they see others' table. अरे यार वो ऑर्डर किया रहता, आई शुड हैव ऑर्डर्ड दैट. आफ्टर फिलिंग द बेली ऑल्सो दे वॉन्ट अदर्स फूड. सो वे समटाइम्स अ पर्सन सीज अदर्स वाइफ एंड सीज दैट इज मोर अट्रैक्टिव, आई शुड हैव एसोसिएशन विद दैट वाइफ. दिस इज इलिसिट सेक्सुअल एक्टिविटी एंड दिस इज सिनफुल. not only the relatives and the kinsmen of the family beat him, but a person because of illicit sex life suffers life after life. Because of that his seat in Yamaraj's abode is reserved. And Yamdutas are waiting when this person will die so that we bring him here and punish him. Punish him life after life. This is most abominable sinful activity. And because of that a person suffers again and again. Sometimes he acquires some profit, but it is stolen by others. So even if he acquires a girlfriend or a woman, but when that girlfriend becomes somebody else's girlfriend, he doesn't know. That's called breakup. Somebody, she dumps him down. This happens in colleges or this happens in material world, that even if he acquires some sense object, it goes to somebody else. Somebody else becomes the owner, somebody else enjoys it, and that situation is very frustrating. Young boys and girls in such breakups, they even commit suicide. They start with love and they end with death. They even commit suicide. So then in the forest there are rakshasas, man-eaters. They are government men who only plunder, who only eat the money, who only increase the tax and who don't allow you to live peacefully. This is the life in the forest. And sometimes the merchant while walking, he falls into dark well. He doesn't seize and he falls down. He gets wounded. He can't come out. This suffering is compared to loss of money and position. Everybody has up and down. So suddenly you are bankrupt. You lose money. You lose image. You lose reputation. You lose prestige. And because of this a person suffers. He can't feed the family. So family curses him and give him bad words and insults him, does not respect him, friends don't continue to meet him, neighbors chide him, even children talk rudely to him when he cannot give to the family. So he suffers and is unhappy. So in such situation he thinks, he takes shelter of creepers and vines. Prabhupada compares to the shelter of arms of wife and girlfriend. Thinking that just if I have a sexual relationship at night, all my happiness, all my unhappiness will go away. But next day morning again he is unhappy. So when he is towards death, when he realizes death is coming, when he is afraid of the lion in the forest, he takes shelter of crane, vultures and heron. This is compared to when afraid of death, a person takes shelter of so-called swamis and bhagbas, sadhus and gurus. They are bogus people. They themselves are not devotees. But they say, don't worry, give me dakshina and I will save you from death. I will make you God. I am God and you are also God. You know you don't know. Just take this mantra, give dakshina, pay respects to me and I will make you God. You will know you are God. And again he gets cheated, and because he gets cheated, he tries to search for real sadhus. And he gets association of real devotees. He becomes happy, but many people sincerely don't approach. So they can't keep this association, so they go back to bad association. They again become like monkey, jumping from one branch to another branch, only indulged in sexual activities and material desires, material happiness. So again go back to material life. And when they engage in such activities, sometimes these monkeys, even though they jump very cleverly, but they are captured by the hunters. In the same way, a person, even though he has transcendental knowledge, but if he engages into sense gratification, sensual enjoyment, then he gets attached to various species and various bodies again and again. Again and again he dies and takes birth, again he gets entangled to family life, again he tries to be enjoying, and again he goes through the whole cycle, again he dies, again he goes to next body, next species, again entanglement. This goes on continuing. This is how Maya captures a person. And sometimes the merchant falls into a mountain cave. This is compared to incurable disease. Disease out of bad life. Disease out of drinking. Disease out of gambling. Drugs, tobacco or prostitution. They are incurable diseases like AIDS and cancer and all. And because of that a person suffers. And outside the cave, there is an elephant, that is death, waiting to devour, and is very afraid of that elephant. He is very afraid of this death. So what does he do? He takes shelter of the twigs and the branches inside the cave. But they are fallible soldiers. If you are afraid of death, we take shelter of our family and friends, but they can't help us. Nobody can help us from death. You can't go to the doctor and say, whatever money you want, you just postpone my death with few years. Doctor can't give. We have a classic example of Dhirubhai Ambani. He died in coma. 65,000 crore rupees he had in his pocket. Best doctors, best medicines, best hospitals. But while dying, he can't even talk to his mother. Forget chanting Hare Krishna. So even if we take shelter of so-called fallible people, so-called family, friends and money, they can't help us from death. So a person again and again gets entangled into cycle of birth and death. You can close this. So this is how this whole material world is made in such a way that there is dukhalayam ashashvatam, again and again happiness. And in this verse, Jadbharat says that a person comes out of his death. That means he takes another birth, but still he gets entangled. The reason is we lack this knowledge that Vishnu, he is sarvagatim, he is the ultimate goal of life. So the most important education in a person's life is to know what is his goal. If I don't know the destination, what is the use of traveling? What is the meaning of a journey when I don't know where I am going? If you are in a local train sitting and there is one more person sitting, another passenger, and you ask him, my dear sir, where are you going? And he says, oh, I don't know. What will you think? He's a foolish person, mad person. He is in the train, in the journey, but he doesn't know where I am going. In the same way, we are also passengers. Life is a journey. Jeevan ek safar suhana. We don't know suhana. Jeevan is safar. S-U-F-F-E-R. Safar. Journey. Where are we going? I don't know. Then what is this foolishness? So if we are in a journey, we should know our goal. So the most important education or most important knowledge is to know that Lord Shri Krishna and his loving devotional service is the ultimate goal of life. But because we don't know, we don't act, we don't try for it. And hence a person, however intelligent he may be, however rich he may be, however powerful he may be, he dies and again takes birth. In lower species of life, again he comes to human form. Again he misuses and wastes his human energy. Again the cycle of birth and death continues. So coming to spiritual life means accepting that I have to come out of the cycle of birth and death. And my goal of life is Krishna. And I should somehow go back home, back to Godhead. This is the goal which Srila Prabhupada has given us. And the process of Krishna consciousness he has given us. And one should practice this process very nicely. Jadbharat, after he explained the whole process to Maharaj Rahuguna in this chapter, then Maharaj Rahuguna gets enlightened and enlivened. And he understands that whatever I was thinking about myself as a king is illusion. And I should give up this position and I should surrender to Jadbharat and practice spiritual life. This is our position. And we should give up and we should surrender to the parampara, to the representative of the parampara, to the pure devotee of the Lord, and should practice spiritual life so that we go back home, back to Godhead. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, we may take. Yeah, mic.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Lord Krishna, in his Dwaraka pastimes, personally demonstrated to the whole world how how to lead an ideal householder's life by acting like an ordinary husband to his wife and family, father to family, etc. But still, why in scriptures family life is condemned?
Family life should be centered around Krishna. And even after that, a person at the age of 50 should take vanaprastha, should leave family life. Because ultimate goal of life is Krishna. When a child, a small boy goes to Gurukul, he is taught about the path of self-realization, which starts with Brahmacharya. And when he finds himself capable to continue Brahmacharya, he doesn't have to enter family life. He can directly take sannyas and go back home, back to Godhead. And somebody who doesn't find himself capable to continue Brahmacharya, religiously he is allowed to have a family life. But the goal is same. So family life increases attachment. And after fulfilling his responsibilities in Varnashram Dharma, one has to leave family life and again practice Brahmacharya in Vanaprastha. And as a sannyasi, he has to travel so that he achieves Krishna. But if somebody continues family life for sense enjoyment, then that is condemned. Because by that you get animal life. So any activity by which the goal is disrupted and you go back to lower species of life, your human energy is wasted, is condemned by the scriptures. So if family life is centered around Krishna, that is grihastha life. That is welcome. But if it is not centered around Krishna, that is grahamedi life. And that is condemned. Because the human energy is waste. The biggest danger is danger of getting back animal life. And if a family life is not centered around Krishna, your animal life is sure. So it is condemned because it is dangerous. Okay?
Yeah. Prabhu, yeah. Hare Krishna, don't you agree that happiness is a state of mind? A happy man is happy everywhere, whether he is in family life or a brahmachari or any other status. Unfortunately, we go in search of happiness outside us. The moment we realize that happiness is within our own self, the search for happiness ends and that he feels happy. Am I correct?
Happiness is inside us doesn't mean lungs, kidney, heart. Doesn't mean soul. It means super soul. Ananda, such, chit, ananda. Ananda is when we develop a relationship with Krishna. It is maya, impersonalism to say happiness is within us. That within is what? That within is Krishna. So if somebody gets related to Krishna, then only he can be happy. Just by closing his eyes and I don't know what they do, but to go within, that you don't get happiness. Many people early morning 15 minutes they do dhyan and they say, I am so happy and fresh. Early morning when you close your eyes, what happens? You fall asleep. After sleep, everybody is happy and fresh. What is the big deal? So happiness is in getting connected to Krishna. So if somebody gets connected to Krishna, he is happy wherever he is. Otherwise he is not.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Can give the mic behind?
My question was that because we are in household wife, we are not able to come to this wonderfully free atmosphere of temple on a regular basis. We are not that much fortunate. Even though we are doing our sadhana, we somehow miss this regular association of devotees on a day-to-day basis. So what happens that whenever we come in the association of devotees, we get the experience of nectar of the association. But when we are away, we are not getting that. So sometimes this feeling of frustration starts to creep in. So how to overcome and how to become how to actually keep ourselves balanced?
Temple means three things: Krishna, devotees and devotional service. Three things should be there. If two things are there, that is not temple. If Krishna is there, people are around, but devotional service is not happening, that is not temple. So we should make our house as temple. There should be Krishna, there should be devotees, and there should be devotional service. And if we happen not to go to devotees, we should invite devotees to our house. Then there will be always devotional service happening in the house. We should avoid being alone. It will always, lack of association will always yield weakness in our spiritual life. So we should always be with us, devotee association. We should seek opportunities to be in devotee association. If we can't go, we should invite devotees in our house. But still, if there is some up and down in life, we should go back to our sources, reading, hearing, associating with devotees, going to deities. As soon as we come back to our sources of inspiration, as soon as we read Bhagavatam, hear Bhagavatam, associate with sadhus, we again become strong. We again desire an eagerness to serve Krishna. So whenever such thing happens, we should go back to our sources. We should go back to books, we should go back to lectures, we should go back to deities, we should go back to devotees. Right? If a person is not healthy, he should rush to hospital. When he is not in the hospital, he should maintain his health. But if it is going down, he should go back to hospital. So if spiritual life is maintained, nice. Not maintained, go back. Go back to doctor. We should go back to deities, devotees, scriptures. And we should improve our spiritual life. Okay?
Yes.
Any more questions? Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.